to the FTN NBA podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
Welcome back, everybody. It has been a while. This is the FTN NBA podcast. Adam Pfeiffer here with Mr. Zach Graham, Kawhi Zenberg himself. And this is an exciting time because football season, at least the regular season, is coming to an end, which means more time for this podcast, more time for me to talk about basketball. So I don't want to speak for Zach because I don't know what he's got going on. Steelers might make the playoffs somehow. And right. Once again, Mike Tomlin's not going to have a losing season, perhaps. But this might be the start of multiple pods a week, which I know a lot of people have been waiting for. I say a lot of people, like you know, a lot of people, but it's exciting. And I talk about this all the time, Zach. Like, once we get to like week 10 or 11 of football season is when I'm like still very much in love with football, but it's like I also at the same time just want to talk about basketball. So that's where we're at. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like you said, it has been a while. I think we've led the podcast off with "it's been a while," like throughout football season, which is like an annual tradition for us at this point. So I'm very excited that not necessarily that football is coming to a close, because I'm also a big fan of the entire football season. You know, we were just talking before we hit record, talking about some season-long championship results that we each had. And, you know, again, so that's winding down. So I'm excited that you will have more free time to focus in on hoops. And, yeah, and you mentioned Steelers 500, one game to go. I'm not saying anything yet because I'm gonna take a victory lap if they are 9-8 next week. We'll just say that. I don't care, honestly, if they get into the playoffs, because that Pittsburgh team is not going anywhere. But to keep that streak alive for Tomlin, who, you know, I think is one of the greats.
I don't know if I've told you this. Like, obviously, McDermott is my favorite coach.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Number two, and he had, like, before McDermott was a coach with Buffalo Bills, Mike Tomlin was always my favorite coach. Like,
yeah.
He is the best. I love Mike Tomlin. So, yeah, like, at worst, if they can just make sure he continues to go 500 or better.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
Well, hey, and you're mentioning coaches, and we'll get off the football talk here in a second, but your boy Daboll getting the Giants into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's an easy team. I'm like, if the Bills don't pan out, the problem is the Giants aren't making a run. Right. Like, I think they can beat Minnesota if they play them, but like, if I were to root for a non-Buffalo team in the playoffs, it would easily be that team. I think he's probably going to win Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of candidates, like Doug Peterson, if they win the division. Yeah. Easily could win Coach of the Year. Obviously, Sirianni will get some buzz. There's a handful of coaches.
I mean, I would throw Tomlin out there. I don't think he will win it just because 9-8 is the best they can do. But taking that team from whatever they were, 1-6, I think, to start the year, to an above 500 team. Also, LaFleur. Like, mm-hmm. I know there's multiple facets there in Green Bay. Like, Aaron Rodgers is managing this team to controlling their own destiny now. But, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of candidates for Coach of the Year on the NFL side of things.
On today's episode, it's going to be fun. We're going to go through both of our all-star rosters. I know on NBA.com's like voting page, you can only do the starters. And I was like, I wanted to go through the whole team. So
yeah.
We're going to go through the five starters from each team. And then I believe you said it's seven bench players?
Yeah.
So we're going to go through that, and then to end it, we're going to go through some trade ideas. Players that we think should and or will be traded, what teams make sense for. Like, I'm sure we'll spend 45 minutes on the Chicago Bulls. I feel like at this point, because every single season or whatever team LeBron James happens to be playing on, that's one of the focal points for trade discussions. But like, any sort of trade discussion for football or for basketball mm-hmm. is probably going to be centered around LA and Chicago. So we'll touch on a lot of players. I'm sure Zach has had the trade machine fired up multiple times over the past couple weeks, so I'm excited to see that. But let's start with the Eastern Conference All-Stars. And I messaged you last night when I was trying to make my full roster, and it's tough. Like, there's obvious players that will be on the roster, but when you have the situation where for the starters you have to have three non-guards essentially.
Yeah, they break it down where it's two guards, three front court players.
Right.
Which, like, those limitations, like, we can talk.
It's so difficult with that because we talked about this before we hit record, but choosing three starters between Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Joel Embiid is brutal.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brutal, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
So I'll start with you. Let's start with the guards. Who are your two guards? I'm going to assume we both have Donovan Mitchell, but the second guard is, you could go multiple ways here, especially with the way the Brooklyn Nets are playing. I almost considered Kyrie Irving, but who do you have for your two guards, assuming Donovan Mitchell's one, and we'll see who the second one.
Yeah, so I think, like, another thing that's fun about, at least right now, right, maybe in a couple weeks when we're coming to the end of the All-Star voting period, right, at least for the fans, maybe we see these a little different. But, like, at least right now, I think there's multiple, like, potential points of contention here, which is fun, like, because sometimes, like, I think you and I and our old buddy Joe Metz did this exercise last year, and there was really only one spot. It was a guard spot out West. A lot of us, or I think all three of us, were kind of between Ja and Devin Booker last year. Now we have more pieces, and guards here is a good place to start in the East. Another aside before we get into the actual selections that we have, Adam. You brought up the constraints, right, of the two guards and the three front court players. I think that is the easiest way to overhaul this. Like, I've always been a proponent of not letting the fans vote for this because there are, like, multiple players that have all-star incentives in their contracts, and we shouldn't let, like, us, much less the average or below casual fan of the NBA, determine those things. So I think an interesting way to change it would be you can vote for whoever you want, but you have to have one guard and one front court player, because we see teams all over the league that run, like, four technically front court players and one guard, and it totally works, and vice versa, right? You can run Toronto. One big and four. Yeah. So I just think, like, less constraints on the starting five will probably get us closer to the 10 best players in the league being the starters in this game, which I think is what the league and the fans should and do want. So after that long-winded intro, I do have Donovan Mitchell as a starter, and then I actually have Jaylen Brown, and I think
that's why I struggled.
Yeah, I think we can actually just go ahead and open up the discussion, if it's all right with you, about these guards. The other two are, I think, probably, like you mentioned, Kyrie, James Harden is going to be there.
So real quick, we can tie this all together. So I obviously had Donovan Mitchell. I'm not even kidding. Like, got home from watching football yesterday, and I started to take some notes for this podcast because I knew it was going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And where I'm struggling is Boston deserves one starter, without a doubt.
Sure.
And for me, best player on the best team in basketball is Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. But the problem is I struggle with Tatum, Giannis, Durant, and Embiid, one of those players having to be off. So I really debated between Jaylen Brown and Tyrese Haliburton for a long time. Mm. I really want Tyrese Haliburton to start, but after making some adjustments, and it gives away one of my front court spots, I did move Jaylen Brown to the starting two guard or the second guard or whatever, because I'll just give it away. I ended up switching Tatum for Embiid, just the way Embiid's been playing.
Yeah.
And Tatum will come off the bench, obviously, but it started for me with Haliburton and Donovan Mitchell as the guards, and then Durant, Tatum, Giannis as the front court. But after switching, and again, like, Haliburton is clearly deserving, right? He's been the best player on one of surprise teams in basketball that expected to be where, like, Detroit and Orlando are right now. But they're, I think, like, sixth or seventh in the East. Mm-hmm. And Haliburton's been the quarterback of that offense. He has emerged as one of the best playmakers in the NBA. I think Harden actually passed him in assists per game lately, but still, he's right there. It came down to me that Boston clearly deserves at least one starter, and if I'm not going to put Tatum in there, I think Jaylen, and it's not like Jaylen Brown's been like, yeah, he's been okay. He's been fantastic. He's been scoring at a ridiculous rate. Still can't really dribble, but that's okay. So I ended up going Mitchell and Jaylen Brown as well, but I really, really wanted to put Tyrese Haliburton in there.
Man, I'm surprised we both had, not Donovan Mitchell, but both of those two guys in there. I thought that's where I would maybe get a little bit different. So maybe I was wrong about the points of contention.
I had Tyrese in there for like 10 hours.
Yeah. I just, I, Harden and Kyrie specifically.
That's where I struggle too. Like, and I even struggle with the reserves for those two players too, because I think Kyrie's played like 24 games and Harden's played around 20.
Yeah.
Which, like, isn't insignificant. It's still, like, you know, I mean, half
Harden,
the games.
That's like half. Yeah, Harden's played like half. I also just don't think he's been very good, like, efficiency-wise, right? He's right on his career average, I guess, 44% from the field, a little above his career average from three at 37%. But neither of those numbers are impressive to me, and just in the advanced stage of his career and on this team, he doesn't play as big of a role elsewhere as he did, you know, in his MVP years in Houston, those years where he was leading the league in scoring and you know.
You mean next year when he's in Houston?
Well, I don't think Houston is going to really welcome
makes
him back. And if
zero,
they do,
makes literally zero sense
yeah,
to me.
Yeah. But I don't think there's nothing to that, because it's like,
he didn't dismiss it too. Asked him after the Christmas Day game, and he goes, "I don't know where that came from." But he didn't say it's completely far fetched. It's completely off the table. He just said, "I don't know where that came from."
Well, and
so
it's
like,
a very similar timeline to the Kevin Durant may go to the Warriors report that everybody scoffed at initially from Woj around this time, and then 8 months later, boom, Kevin Durant's on the Warriors. Obviously, not a 1-to-1 comparison. James Harden on the Rockets probably not doing much for them at this point. It would make them a middling team, I think, in the West, which is not where you want to be. But yeah, I couldn't give him that nod, because Embiid is in there for me, and this Philadelphia team is currently constructed does not, in my opinion, deserve two all-star starters. That wasn't the deciding factor for me, but I just think Jaylen Brown, man, and I guess we can go ahead and get into the front court three here in the East as well. I do have Tatum in there, and I think it's fine to give the best team in the league right now, record-wise, two players, especially when these two are doing so much. Like, again, I think if Philly is four games better and they are 26-11 at this point, then I may have Harden and Embiid in my starting five. But I went ahead and gave Jaylen Brown the nod, because I don't think there's a huge difference between what he and Jason Tatum have been doing this year. And they've just been, I mean, they're the best, obviously the best record in the league. For a while there, they were looking like they were on like record-setting pace offensively. Obviously, the defense has dipped, but now they have Time Lord back. So the fact that those two guys kept this team afloat, and again, like, it's not just them. There are other four, like, key guys with Horford and White and Brogdon and Marcus Smart, reigning defensive player of the year, certainly have a big hand in why this team is still at the top of the league at this point. I mean, it's now been a year, and Boston is clearly the best team in terms of win percentage since that turnaround right around this time last season. So Tatum is in there for me. And then I went Giannis and Embiid. KD actually got knocked out of there for me. And that was by far, to me, the toughest decision, was which one of those four front court guys I was going to leave out. And it's really no knock on KD. He's been fucking amazing this year. And again, Brooklyn has been playing way better basketball over the last month, really since the exit of Steve Nash and Jacques Vaughn taking over this team again. So he's going on a second magical ride as interim head coach of Brooklyn, if people can remember back to the bubble run that those young Nets went on. That seems like eons ago. But I think he is benefiting from having a much better team around him as well. And it may not be fair, but that's what I used to, justify to myself leaving Kevin Durant, who's having a fantastic season, out of my starting five in the East. Giannis holding that, just like Atlas, holding the city of Milwaukee and certainly that team on his back to, you know, a 23-13 record without Chris Middleton for all but like five games. Drew Holiday's been in and out of the lineup. Pat C wasn't healthy, you know, like, Giannis is, and we can do MVP talk here in a couple weeks, I'm sure. Giannis has been amazing. I couldn't leave him out. And then Embiid does get the nod for me. Just uber consistent. And I also think, like, taking his mind off what he was really focusing on last year and trying to chase that MVP. And I think it's been paying off for him, because, again, Philly also has not been the beacon of health And now that they seem to be getting fully healthy, you know, Tyrese Maxey back in the mix now, it'll be exciting to see what they can do. The top of the East, man, is loaded right now. And it's so loaded that we're leaving Kevin Durant having this awesome season out of the starting five, or at least I am. So you said you left Tatum out, right?
Mm-hmm. And it, like, what changed for me, it, like, if especially with Brooklyn, with the way they've been the hottest team in basketball, mm-hmm. Durant is playing at an MVP level, mm-hmm. and Tate, I think Tatum is to an extent too, but I think Durant's been better personally, mm-hmm. And that helps for me. And I mean, Durant, he's averaging what, like 30 a game. Mm-hmm. He is efficiency wise been as good as ever. Like he's shooting like 39%. Yeah, he's shooting like 39% off pull-up threes. He's shooting 48% overall off pull-up jump shots.
Yeah.
He's shooting like 60% off mid-range shots. It's just like he has been unbelievable. Then defensively, we knew when he was with the Thunder, like he was better defensively than he showed, mm-hmm. than he showed in those seasons. Mm-hmm. And then it really showcased when he went to Golden State. And then this year especially, he's like those lineups with him and Claxton have been some of the best defensive, like they've been one of the best defensive duos in basketball. So I think with everything he's done for them, plus all the turmoil in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. he's been the consistent force just every single game. I think Durant for me is not only a starter for me, but I think he's top three in MVP for me. But it's obviously like a ridiculous, you know, it's an insane range because you have Embiid there who, again, I struggle. Like Giannis and Durant were the clear one and two for me. I did put Embiid over Tatum. Like Embiid is just, I think he scored like 30 plus for a points in like 60-70% of his games this year. Mm-hmm. It's absurd. Defensively and rebounding wise, he started off really slow, a little bit lazy. But like when Embiid locks in and wants to lock in, he is obviously still one of the best defensive players in basketball. And again, it's no slight on Jason Tatum, who's been unbelievable. He's been the best player on the best team in basketball. It's just, I think Durant, Giannis, and Embiid have all had better individual seasons. And, like, they haven't been as good as Boston. But it's not like, Philly's won, what, 9 of their last 10? Obviously, Brooklyn's been on fire. Milwaukee's slowed down a little bit. This is completely off topic because, you know, Giannis is going to be an all-star for every year of his career, probably, till he's done. Mm-hmm. But without Chris Middleton, I don't think they can win because their half-court offense is, like, legitimately bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for all-star purposes, that's my starting five. Mitchell really wanted to put Tyrese Haliburton in there, but I did go Jaylen Brown because I took Tatum out, and Boston absolutely deserves at least one starter. And then the front court is Durant, Giannis, and Embiid, which means my number one bench player who could easily start is Jason Tatum, and that means yours is Kevin Durant.
Correct. Well, and so, like, see, you, like, the limitations on the starting lineup and the voting, right? Like, we fix this if we just say minimum one guard, minimum one front court player. Because then, to be honest, I think you
get Jaylen Brown's on All-Star then.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown is on the bench. And then for me, Kevin Durant's in. And for you, Jason Tatum is in the starting lineup. And guess what? That lineup is better. That lineup is better. So, yeah. What about the bench for you, though? Because obviously we know the top six for us, but you got six more.
Tyrese Haliburton.
Okay.
No question, all-star this year.
Yeah. I was actually, that's where I was surprised that you had him in contention to start. And I think it's a solid, like, you didn't really make a full fleshed out argument here, but like, they're three games above 500. This was supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league.
He is, like I said, he's the quarterback of this offense, 10.2 assists per game. Only 2.5 turnovers per game, despite all the passes per game he makes, all those assists. And he's having these games where he just can't miss from three. He's shooting 41% from three, 48.5% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's been unbelievable. I think you can legitimately make the case that he is, especially where he's at in his career now,
mm-hmm.
he's the best how do I phrase this? Because he's not the best point guard in the league, obviously. Right. But like, he's the best playmaking point guard in the league in terms of like, that's not on the Luka level. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like, it's so like,
well, he's not it's not on the superstar level, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to make the case that he's like what Chris Paul has been, just not at that level. But he's essentially what Chris Paul was in his prime right now.
I agree.
That's the kind of point guard he's becoming.
I mean, and I know we reamed at the Kings for shipping him off to Indiana, and I still think that was a bad trade in the long run. But Pacers 6th seed in the East, Kings 6th seed in the West. So like, who knew?
Yeah, but you know, only player in basketball averaging more passes made per game than Haliburton is the best player in basketball, Jokic. But even still, with that immense volume in terms of passing, he's only averaging, like I said, 2.5 turnovers per game. His assist to pass ratio is fantastic, obviously. He's just been unbelievable. So I think he absolutely needs to start. We'll go back and forth. So, my second bench player after Jason Tatum is Tyrese Haliburton. And he almost started for me, like I said.
Well, I think we can get two others out of the way, right? Harden and Kyrie both on our benches.
Yeah. So I struggled with this.
Even putting them on the team.
More so because I really wanted to put Porzingis on the team.
Yeah.
I think he's been that good.
Yeah.
But I ended up making the switch and keeping Porzingis and dropping somebody else. So I do have Kyrie and I do have James Harden.
Okay. I think we both have this one too. Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam in any year should be a starter this year.
Yeah.
I talked about this on stream with Alex Blickle, mm-hmm, when we were just talking about it was one of those moments in the stream where like it's like 6:50 and you're waiting for any more news or questions.
Yeah.
And I just brought up like, I don't even think it's debatable that Pascal Siakam's been a top 10 basketball player this season. And it's just, he's not going to be an all-star starter because you can't put him over the guys you mentioned in the front court.
Right.
But that team without him is even worse than they've been because Scottie Barnes hasn't really taken that leap. Yep. Siakam's doing everything for them. So, yeah, like if Siakam, I'm going to put it this way, it's completely irrelevant, but if Pascal Siakam played in the Western Conference, he'd be a starter for me. I would have him over two players.
Yeah. Yeah. He would certainly be in there for me.
And it's pretty obvious who those two players are because three of those players are not coming off that starting unit no matter what. So, so the locks for the reserves. Did you have Haliburton?
Yes. So, Hallie, Harden, Kyrie, Siakam, and then Durant/Tatum. So, that's five. Yep. Okay.
So, we have two left. And this is where I struggled because initially, I was like, you know what? Jalen Brunson's been playing really well.
Yeah.
And I think he is all-star worthy. Yeah. But then I did end up putting Kyrie and Harden back up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two spots left. Here are some players that are in the consideration, right? You have Brunson. You could throw Randall in there. He's been great lately. Porzingis, Trae Young. Where are you going with the final two spots? Because I'm keeping Porzingis in there. I think he deserves to be an all-star.
So I did get a Nick in there. They have also been playing fantastic basketball over the last few weeks. And Julius Randall made it for me. I was between he and Brunson, and like, it doesn't feel great to really, for me, to put either of those guys in there, but again, I think if what the Knicks have done over the last month is who they really are, then
by the way. Well, they're 18-18 now. They're starting to lose because
19-18.
They just gotta win.
That
winning streak they're on, though, it's the complete opposite of what's happening in Cleveland, and it's tilting the living shit out of me. Teams are shooting like 60% from three against Cleveland the last like four games.
Yeah.
And during that winning streak for New York, teams shot like 25% on open threes. It was like, but that's basketball. Like, that's how it works. That's how a lot of these winning streaks work. Like,
so Julius Randle would be the first man out for me. Like, you mentioned a couple of other guys that I think are worthy and like I wouldn't have an issue with. Whereas, like, last year, I think we were pretty much full on both teams where it was like, if all of these guys don't make it, I'm going to be pissed. And then we had Wiggins fucking make it because, again, the front court constraints really kill everything in this game.
You know what's funny about that, though?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it, but during the playoffs, you're like, okay, maybe he might have deserved it. Right. You know what I mean? But like, because he played so good. Has like, nothing to do with the regular season, of course, but
yeah, but it's also like, I don't want to see fucking Andrew Wiggins in the All-Star game. I would watch him play real basketball any night. That's not what this is. And like what he does on the basketball court is not what we reward guys with all-star spots with. So I knew the Andrew Wiggins thing. Of course, I was going to have to get my blood pressure raised about that once again. But, yeah, getting back to Randall, he's just been an Iron Man for years now. And especially since he's been with old Tibbs here in New York, we know just, you know, the minutes that he plays and the burden that he's carrying for this team, especially with Jalen Brunson struggling with injury over the last few weeks. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, in a couple weeks, we may think differently about some of these spots. Julius Randle's spot on my East All-Star team is certainly one of those guys that I think, in a few weeks, not surprised at all if I didn't have him anywhere close. Maybe like third or fourth alternate, I think, could be a reality.
How much do you value winning for the All-Star game?
It's because, a tiebreaker for me, usually.
Yeah, I think that's where it should be, because I do have Porzingis, mm-hmm. and they're obviously not in the playoff picture right now, whereas some other teams obviously are, but I don't think the All-Star team should be, like, I think there was a lot of this with, like, Bradley Beal over the years, because the Wizards have been an average to below average team, but, like, if you're, like, and a lot of people worry about, like, these empty stats or whatever, but, mm-hmm. You know, Porzingis right now, you look at his numbers, he's averaging career highs in minutes per game, field goal percentage of almost 48%. He's shooting 56% off twos. That's the highest rate of his career by a pretty large margin. Mm-hmm. Averaging 22 points, just over, I think, right at nine rebounds. He's obviously been more comfortable in this role with Washington. When he was with Dallas, he was just a spot-up shooter with Luka, which just didn't really work. Mm-hmm. And he's posting up more this year, and he's been a pretty good post-up player. He's been a lot more productive rim protector. Right now, Porzingis is behind, five players in post-up points per game. Mm-hmm. He's shooting 59% off post-ups. That's better than Joel Embiid by 2 percentage points. So I thought Porzingis definitely deserved some love, and I did lean him, but, like, yeah, Randall was close for me too. So we have one spot left, or two.
I think you
have my reserves will go through.
Well, you
real
have
quick.
KP, so it's just one.
Yeah, so my reserves right now are Haliburton, Jason Tatum, Pascal Siakam, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Porzingis. So I have one spot left. I didn't want to put Trae Young.
Neither did I.
And I didn't.
Neither did I.
I put Jalen Brunson.
Oh. That's fair. I think that's fair. I have.
I don't think Trae Young deserves to be an All-Star. Sorry.
I agree. The Hawks have been shit.
The numbers are fine, but, like, he's also shooting terribly.
Yeah, so I don't think the numbers are good at all. Like, he's
like the raw numbers are fine.
Game. Fine. 41-31? From the field, and, like, yeah, 89 Trae Young hitting his free throws, it doesn't super impress me. That's what he should do as, you know, one of the aspiring to be one of the best sharpshooters, one of the most potent offensive threats in the league. Yeah, you should make your free throws. The experiment with DeJounte Murray has not gone well. Not going to say it's a failure yet. We still have a long way
to go. He's not spotting up. Like, Trae Young has to spot up more in this offense.
He has to
play
off the ball some. He doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And he's throwing, and apparently he's throwing a bitch fit with Nate McMillan to the point where I think Nate McMillan, I saw something about,
yeah, he
considering
might
stepping down.
Yeah.
So that's two very good coaches, in my opinion, that he's, maybe not fair, maybe, but two solid NBA coaches in Lloyd Pierce and Nate McMillan that he is potentially going to run out of town there. At some point, maybe do you sell Trae Young? If you're Atlanta, get some of those picks back and just roll with DeJounte as your
guy. Do you wait until the summer and trade him straight up for Cat?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it still doesn't solve the biggest problem in Minnesota, which is the actual center. And both of those teams have no first. So, like, the straight up trade. I think you just have to rebuild some of those picks that they shipped. And thanks again, Atlanta, that they shipped to San
Antonio.
I'm
sure we'll talk about some of those players because John Collins has been on the trade block for 17 years now.
Yeah. So, sorry, I kind of hijacked your Jalen Brunson there.
No, it's just I think Jalen Brunson has been what this team's been missing for years, obviously. Jalen Brunson to me is, I talked about this before, like, obviously when he's on Dallas, he's like one of the best point guards in the league at just getting to his spot. Mm-hmm. He's so good at that. He can post up. And I think he's deserving of an All-Star bid. I didn't have Randall. And, like, I just think while the you know, raw numbers may favor Trae Young, I think Brunson's been more impactful to his team. And I felt like giving him the edge there. Mm-hmm. So who's your seventh and final Eastern Conference All-Star?
Yeah, my last guy was Bam.
Damn.
Okay, but he's also a guy that I think...
I love Bam.
Yeah.
That's where I debated between him and Porzingis.
Well, and I think... And I was debating between Bam and Tyler Hero from Miami. Because Hero, I think, has taken that step this year. Obviously, defense is still and will continue to be
an issue. They've just been such a disappointment, but I don't even know if it's been a disappointment because you and I both hated them coming into the season.
Yeah.
We were both so low on Miami, so I don't even know if they've been a disappointment.
Like, yeah, well, we may talk some Miami trade possibilities here in a few minutes, but Tyler Hero, to me, the numbers don't look too dissimilar from what he did last year. He's improved his peripherals across the board, though. Now, in this full-time starting role, he started all 29 times that he suited up for the Heat this year, compared to only 10 starts in his 66 appearances last year. Shot volume is the same. Efficiency is the same. Up to 91% on his free throws from a career 86. That's always nice to see. But up a rebound from 5 to 6, up a little over half an assist per game, improved his steals, improved his blocks, while having the same average turnovers per game. So his turnover rate has actually gone down with his additional minutes that he's seen this year. Here I am saying Bam is my last pick, and I'm giving the case for Tyler Hero, but... Bam has been out of that kind of big three, or, you know, big three and a half, I guess, if you're including Kyle Lowry. Bam has been there the most, 33 of the 37 Miami games this year he suited up for. We know the injury issues they've had, and I think some of it is not necessarily full-on injury issues, is that they have a lot of older guys in this core with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry especially, and trying to keep those guys fresh for the games when they matter, but... You have to get there, and Miami hasn't been great, 19-18 currently in the 7th seed, but 2.5 games from being the 12th seed. So again, I think the end of this East reserve roster is really up for debate, and I think it's going to be reshaped a little bit again over the next couple weeks, but Bam, just the defensive stalwart on this team, kind of the defensive captain, and has really stepped up in some of these games in the absence of the other stars on Miami. So I did give the nod to Bam. But again, I think there's like 3 or 4 guys that we've talked about and some that we haven't that could also be deserving of this spot.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with Bam. So who are like the snubs, if any? Like,
I mean, first of all, the other 3 Cleveland guys.
So... Garland, I don't think deserves to be. That's so harsh, but
they're all very close here at spots 11 and 12 in the East. I think you could make the argument for a lot of guys.
If Garland had been more consistent, mm-hmm. especially on the road,
mm-hmm.
Cleveland's had their issues. They're still 9 games above 500. They're 4th in the East.
Yeah.
I just didn't think, especially with the way Harden and Kyrie have come on as of late, I thought they deserved a little bit more than him.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you wanted to put him in over Brunson,
mm-hmm.
yeah, totally. I just don't personally think at this stage, I think last year, Garland and Jared Allen getting in was, A, because they deserved it, but also the fact that the game was in Cleveland probably helped.
Right.
But at this point, I don't want to say Cleveland doesn't deserve 2 All-Stars, but, like... It is tough to put him over
that is what
Kyrie
we're saying,
and James
right?
Harden.
Neither of us had him.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about guys that could find their way onto that reserve roster for us before the voting ends, before the game, certainly, I think those guys are in the mix. DeMar, Bulls suck.
Yeah, he's been their only player that even has been remotely solid this year, especially clutch. I think he's third in clutch points per game, mm-hmm. which isn't too surprising. It's tough because you're not putting him over Siakam. You're not putting him over, at least in my opinion, Haliburton, whoever the player that didn't make the starting five, obviously, whether it's Tatum, Durant, whoever. It's tough out here.
The other two for me that we haven't mentioned that I think would be fine to see in that last spot, Jimmy Butler, again, hasn't played time. But he's been fine when he's played.
He should be an all-star.
No, I agree. That's why we didn't have him on there. But just in terms of guys that could be in that mix, because again, the reserves are chosen by the coaches. So another month of really good basketball from any of these guys could get them on that list. Drew Holiday as well with no Chris Middleton. He's also been in and out of that Bucks lineup. And then he can't make it because he hasn't played nearly enough games, but LaMelo. If he had played the full season, LaMelo, would be in the conversation.
LaMelo would be an all-star if he played the full season.
But potentially in the conversation for starting, but we don't have to get into that.
Let's go to the Western Conference where things I think are a little bit easier, especially with the starters. We don't have to go back and forth. Luka, Steph, Jokic, they're the three locks.
Yeah.
Do we have to say anything about the... I would say at this point, Luka and Jokic are the 1 and 2 for MVP, especially with the week Luka just had.
Yeah, and fuck, man, Giannis is up there too. Like it's the same cast.
I said this multiple times. I think it's Jokic, and then a tier gap. I don't care. I don't care that it's three in a row potentially. Yep. I don't give a shit. Yep. He is so good. They are first in the West. Yep. He's done
second
it
in the league.
Yeah, and he's done it for a handful of these games without Michael Porter Jr., with Jamal Murray, you know, still coming back and not playing all the games. He is averaging right near a triple-double. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, the difference in points per possessions, or points per 100 possessions when Jokic is on the floor. Do you want to guess? Obviously, it's first in the league because it's Jokic. Do you want to guess plus how many?
18?
Plus 28. They are plus 28 per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. Like, their effective field goal percentage jumps by 7.5%. Mm-hmm. That's the highest rate. Like, it's not even a conversation. They're plus 18.6 points per 100 possessions better. Like, it's not even a conversation, in my opinion, who the MVP is.
Yeah.
The conversation right now.
What's that number for Luka?
So he's right there, to be honest. Dallas is plus 17 per 100 possessions when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
Their effective field goal percentage is plus 7%. So right behind Jokic.
Yeah. But still, Jokic 1, Luka 2.
Yeah. That's how I have it. But obviously, we can talk about that in another episode. I just think, I'll say this real fast. If your argument for Jokic not winning MVP is it'll be his third in a row, mm-hmm. you have no argument.
Yeah.
That should have nothing to do with it. If your argument is, okay, he's having an amazing season, but Luka's not too far off. Sure. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But your argument going into the season, let alone now, shouldn't have ever been, yeah, like he's probably going to be in the running again, but I'm not voting for him because three in a row is just overkill. Like, sorry, he's the MVP.
Cut to Joe Metz furiously banging his fist on the table about Giannis and how many of us were like, I can't win three in a row.
Giannis hasn't been this good.
I agree.
Like Jokic,
and he's always had a better team around him.
It's 3 years in a row where Jokic is posting like a historic season, and then he posts better numbers the next year, and better numbers the next year.
Yep,
he's unbelievable. At what point do you consider him, like, if you haven't already, where does he rank in terms of offensive players ever? Because
I haven't actually put a numeric value on that yet, but it's up there.
Because Jesus Christ, like.
Well, like I think it was this. I was listening to Simmons, which I always feel shame for because I just think Bill is a little out of touch as he grows older. Especially like, dude, when it's football season, Bill Simmons should not be talking hoops because he's not watching enough. I was just taking shots at the Podfather there, but they were talking about like your all time NBA fun.
I saw that. I agreed with it.
And he said, it was awesome. He said Jokic is on the level of Magic and Bird, and he got some big time pushback. I think it was Van Lathan that pushed back really hard on that.
Yeah, but wasn't that the like all time fun starting five?
Yeah, well, but and I also don't think that's like crazy to say that he's on their level now because he brings that flair
to the game. It's not crazy at all.
And he brings that higher
just go
level.
Watch the damn Memphis game again from a couple days ago.
Yeah. Well, he brings that higher level of basketball IQ that Magic and Bird had. You like, I think a cool stat to point out about that is like how short his touches are in terms of like his time of possession. Like you see these other guys that are at the top of the league now and their like average touch is like 7 or 8 seconds and Jokic is like 2.
When have you seen a center run DHO like this?
Yeah.
Like, and like their entire offense is DHO with a 7-footer.
Yeah, and it's a 7-footer who can't fucking move, right? Like compared to some of the more at like thinking about a guy like Anthony Davis or 10 years ago Dwight Howard in the pick and roll and how athletic he was and efficient at doing it and unstoppable. Like you put this big Serbian dude who can't move and is like looks at least does not look the part and never has, and he's just like the best to ever do it at his position. It's crazy.
He's so fucking good.
Look between the East and the West, right? And these two spots that we have open now are front court spots. Like, we have, like, a lot less front court talent in the West, and we have way too much in the East. So if I'm going to give the NBA flowers on anything, it is good now that we're drafting these teams and not keeping them the way they are, because the East would be giant and the West would be not that.
So the rest of the West, I mean, Luka, like.
Yeah, I mean, we just gave Jokic all his flowers. Let's give Luka his too, especially over the last week. Three of his last five
It's just
games,
getting stupid. Like,
yeah, three of his last five games with 50 points or more. The two games that he didn't, 32-9-9 with two steals, 35-12-13 with three stocks. Like, he's fucking unreal right now too.
Like, you expected a huge game against San Antonio. You look, oh, he had 22 in the first quarter. Here we go again.
Yep. Do you see Popovich before the game?
Yeah, and then after the game, too.
Oh, I didn't see what he said after.
I think he said, like, he's just a beautiful basketball player. I think that's what he said.
And he's not wrong.
Yeah. And then Steph, if he didn't get the shoulder injury, he might be the MVP, too, because...
Agreed.
At a point, you know, Golden State's been a little bit better lately, but at a point, they were, like, the worst team in basketball when he was off the floor.
Yep.
So, like, there's always talk of, like, especially we'll talk about it probably with Anthony Davis, like, players that are injured. I don't care if Steph's out for the rest of the season. He's starting my All-Star team.
I agree.
So, they're obviously the three locks, three of the best players in basketball, probably three of the top five players in basketball.
Did you struggle at all with Ja or SGA in any of those spots? Because, like, the Steph injury, to me, like, it made me think twice about Ja.
That's the only one that I even like remotely considered, but like Steph's just been too damn good.
Yeah, and like the thing is like Memphis 2 seed, a game out of the one. Ja has been doing this, you know, without Triple J for the first 2 months. Now Bane. He's back. That's been a huge boost. And yeah, Bane's been in and out of the lineup a lot. So like Ja was I thought twice about it, but yeah, it was Steph.
So this is where it's a little more interesting. So the other two front court spots, because Jokic obviously is taking one of them. I put LeBron and Zion. I think I think it's a tiebreaker for me because Davis is A, hurt, and B, I'm not giving them two All-Star starters. And at the end of the day,
you said Bron and Zion.
Yeah, at the end of the day, until LeBron retires, he's starting the All-Star game. you can go ahead and say okay. Player X deserves it maybe a little bit more. Yeah. Like, this is where I mentioned Siakam. Like, if Siakam played in the West, I would actually put him over LeBron. Mm. But, like, you saw what he did in his 38th birthday. Like, he's still playing at a stupidly high level.
Yeah.
So, it came down to me to where Davis is hurt, so that impacts a little bit. But I also don't think this team deserves two starters.
Yep.
And like I said, LeBron is starting the All-Star game. It's just, you just kind of roll with it and move on. And then Zion. He's amazing. And I think it's funny because like a lot of people don't remember it from Duke because you're waiting for the next highlight dunk and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He is such a good facilitator.
Yep.
So good. And we're seeing that this season. The Pelicans are obviously look like a legitimate contender in the West. You know, we know they're one of the best overall rosters, but they've done a lot of this without BI. Zion has taken a little bit more strides defensively this season, but we know offensively he's going to shoot like 60%+ from the field. I think he deserves to be an All-Star starter, and we want to see Zion in the All-Star game. That is probably the 101 of draft selections for who you want to watch in an All-Star game.
Exactly.
I mean, just look at the end of the Phoenix game.
Exactly. And but you made the case, right? Like, he's been so good. And, like, as those of us who thought he would be fine expected, because you take, like, obviously, there are long-term concerns with Zion, injury-wise. But I didn't really have any this year. Like, if we could predict injuries, we would sit guys out. Like, he's just been, like, I guess I don't need to just, like, blow a bunch of smoke up Zion's ass after you just did some, but, like, 60% from the field, you know, 7 boards playing next to one of the biggest rebounding, I mean, just, like, guy who gobbles up boards on both ends in Jonas Valanciunas, 4.5 assists per game, like you said, with Brandon Ingram out, and CJ's been out for some of these games. Like, you see the full gamut of what Zion can bring to the table. And he is the main reason why this team is a game out of first in the West. And it's all happening for New Orleans, man. Like, we've talked about how much, like, the treasure trove of assets that they have. Both.
Just give me a 7-game series between them and the Suns. That's all I want in the playoffs. Yeah. Whatever else happens is extra.
Yeah. Yeah, for the second year in a row, right? Or they almost won 7 last year.
Yeah, they played Zion. Them tough without yeah. Zion. Yeah. Yeah. I'm assuming you have Zion.
I have Zion, and we had same thought process, different results. I did put Anthony Davis in over LeBron.
He's obviously been better.
Yes, but I think you made the point that's going to come true, or I know you made the point that's going to come true. LeBron will be a starter because it's about fan votes and nothing else, and he's going to get voted.
Not that we have to talk about how good LeBron is, but like at a certain point, like we have to still like there was a lot of during that game against the Hawks on his birthday. It was a lot of, and I 100% agree with it. Like there was a lot of tweets about. We need to stop taking LeBron for granted. And, like, it's true because he's 38 years old. What is he averaging? Like, 28, 7, and 6? Like,
he's
incredible. You know, I don't even think it's arguable. He is one of the top 2 players to ever play.
Yep.
And he's going to start the All-Star game. So, let's go to the bench. Obviously, for me, you have, or for you, for yourself, you have LeBron. I have Anthony Davis. Then, I think I want to get to the trades. We have to go through each one. But, like, we're both obviously going to have Ja, SGA. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker, Dame,
yes,
and then my last two.
Yeah, here's where it gets fun.
Both in the front court.
Okay,
same this here. Is where it gets interesting.
Same here. I wonder if we have the same two.
Domantas Sabonis.
Nope.
And Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah. So I like the Sabonis call. I got PG in there over Sabonis.
That's what I thought, and I'm fine with putting PG.
With putting Sabonis.
Yeah. Lauri was the guarantee between the two of us.
Yeah,
how about that?
Man, like, he fucking deserves it. Like, first of all, you mentioned the Cleveland guys last year. I think this, like, almost guarantees that
it's
Lauri
in Utah, yeah.
will be a reserve because it's
Donovan Mitchell
City
in Utah.
Game.
It'll be fun, by the way.
But, like, bro, if Lauri Markkanen doesn't win Most Improved Player, like, then I'm going to, like, obviously I was trying to tell people about Most Improved last year, and I'm sure I'll have to do that rant again this year. Not to the same level, because obviously Lauri Markkanen is not as highly touted of a player as some of the guys that have won it in the past, but he will, once he wins the Most Improved Player, keep that tradition alive of the Most Improved Player already having an All-Star appearance before they win Most Improved Player. I mean, career averages were below 16 points per game coming into this year. He averaged below 15 points with your Cavs last season. On his career, 45, 37, 85. This year, 24 points per game, so an increase of 9 from last year with your Cavs, 53% from the field, 43 from 3, and slightly above his career average, 86 from the free throw line.
How about 61% off 2s?
Yeah. Dude, he is... I mean, Larry Bird.
He's also starting to post-drive somebody every week.
Yeah, dude, he's been so good.
He's shooting 50% off spot-ups this season. He's been the catalyst for that surprise Utah team.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a question he should be on the All-Star team. I put Sabonis over PG just because I think I just selfishly want to see the Kings get an All-Star.
Yeah, sure.
And they've been so fun to watch. Obviously, they have Mike Brown coaching, who came from Golden State, obviously, for all those years. And you're seeing a lot of the same elements of that offense, where it's Sabonis handling the ball at the top of the key and just everybody cutting, running off screens around him. Mm-hmm. And he's just, he's the focal point. Like De'Aaron Fox, obviously there too. He's had a very good season, but without Sabonis, that team doesn't go. And with the way they played this season, what are they, top five in the West right now, or six?
Just dropped to sixth, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But that's a playoff spot. No play-in game.
And, like, there was some hype about the Kings to an extent this year, but I don't think anybody thought they'd be this good, you know.
No.
Not that they've been, like, you know, elite, but they've been, their offense has actually been one of the more efficient offenses in basketball, and Sabonis has so much to do with that. Like, I think PG probably ends up getting in over him if it comes down to those two, especially because the five we already mentioned with AD, SGA, Ja, Booker, and Dame are probably locks. Uh-huh. But you know, Sabonis has been great. But, yeah, Laurie, I'm glad we both had Laurie in there.
Yeah, and I mean, Paul George has missed, like, nine games, I think, this season. But the fact that this team, without Kawhi Leonard for the vast majority of this year so far, is still four games above 500. I gave the nod to PG because I do think like De'Aaron Fox has been great this year. Like we saw late last year after Hallie got out of there, it appears that De'Aaron Fox is just one of those guys that can't play next to another high usage or like another guard that needs the ball.
You look at his numbers since they made the Sabonis trade. Yeah. He's been one of the 10 best point guards in basketball. Yeah. Which like I say 10 best, but like there's so many good point guards that's a pretty significant accomplishment to be playing at a top 10 level at the point guard position in the NBA.
Yeah, no question. So yeah, I think that no issues there and a less of a list of like so-called honorable mentions in the West. I don't think we'll see as much potential movement there at the bottom of the reserve list, but
and
I guess, yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about maybe some guys that could have got in there. I think both of us obviously agree, Paul George, Sabonis on our respective lists. Ayton has not been bad. I think it's a stretch to say he would be a potential all-star.
If McCollum didn't get off to such a slow start, he'd have an absolute case. It's just he got off to a brutal start. But yeah, really, look, the West is pretty cut and dry. Yeah.
I mean, if he had played the full season, like we might be talking Jaren Jackson Jr., but
Fox,
obviously we're not.
Fox, like we mentioned.
Sure.
I would say Fox and probably Ant. And then if Kat didn't get hurt, if Kat didn't get hurt, like, it'd be a lot harder for Sabonis or Laurie to get in, but.
And if the Suns hadn't sucked so much with Devin Booker out, we could be talking Chris Paul, but he's just not keeping that team afloat as he did the last
Chris
couple
Paul's
years.
Part of the reason he's been bad.
Like, yes. So. I agree.
All right, I'm gonna kick it to you for the trades because I know this is your bread and butter. This is where you you get home from a long day.
Yeah.
You sit at the computer, you unwind with a bottle of wine or something, and you just go to the trade machine. So talk about a couple players that we think should or will get traded to spots that make sense.
Yeah.
I know you've been working the machine. So what's it spitting out?
Yeah, so I have four for you here today, Adam, and I think there are still some players that I won't touch on here today that we will talk about in the coming weeks as we come to the February trade deadline, about 6 weeks away as we speak. And you know, I had to start it off with a potential Spurs trade here.
Jakob?
Yeah. So Jakob Poeltl going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. So in my opinion, like, it's not the worst thing, Adam, I think, for that team. If they re-sign Jakob Poeltl to another deal where he's getting paid $10 to $12 million a year, I think that would be a really solid deal. But I don't think, you know, if they get Wembanyama, we want Jakob Poeltl nowhere near this team because that's going to fuck things up.
It's too good.
So, but, like, the chances are still fairly slim that the Spurs actually get that one pick, so
if he goes to Orlando, I'm going to lose it.
God damn it. Yeah, don't put that out there into the universe. All right, so I do think the smart thing is to, if you can get something for Jakob Poeltl that resembles anything like some fair compensation, I think you have to take it and just go from there. So what I have cooked up is actually an interstate trade here, or I should say intrastate trade. No, it's not the Rockets. It's the Mavericks. So Jakob Poeltl to the Mavericks for Dwight Powell and a 2025 lottery protected first round pick. Because you would assume in 2025, Luka would still be there in Dallas. That team is not going to miss the playoffs as Luka is healthy. So you would think you get that first round pick. Again, it's going to be in the back half most likely. And I did put in the caveat that if Dallas is in the lottery that year, it would revert to 2 second rounders, one in 2025, one in 2026, just so they don't keep pushing that back, that first round back. So again, I think Dallas is a team that could really benefit if you look around the teams that could potentially be making a playoff push. Again, Dallas, Western Conference Finals appearance last year. Still trying to figure out their center spot, because obviously Christian Wood is the answer on the offensive end. But I think they're going to be in trouble playing a ton of Christian Wood in the playoffs, certainly starting him at the five. And I think Jakob Poeltl plugs a lot of those holes that, to Dwight Powell's credit, and a little bit JaVale McGee and all the other guys there, have done their best attempts at doing that to no avail. I think Jakob Poeltl could be the answer there, especially with Maxi Kleber's health in doubt a little bit here with that torn muscle. So yeah, Poeltl for Powell and a pick. Get it done.
Yeah, I like it because it'll help a lot of their rim protection issues too. Uh-huh. Dallas teams are shooting like 68% at the rim against him. It's like a bottom 10 rate uh-huh. in the league. Poeltl has really emerged as one of the premier, you know, rim protecting centers. So
yeah.
I like it.
He's obviously the guy that Popovich is having to limit minutes for because he's right. keeping him in games.
Yeah. Obviously he'll be linked to like Golden State. I don't know if they're going to have enough or want to move enough yeah. to get him. Toronto, obviously a reunion,
but how
Toronto, it's like, where do they view themselves? Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? Because talent wise, they're talented enough to get this back on track, but like yeah. we know they need a center.
Going back, the Golden State one is interesting because obviously they have like Poeltl for Wiseman straight up. I'll fucking do that. Like, I know Wiseman has been pissed.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, they've been worse than Dallas. 69% field goal percentage at the yeah. rim. It's bottom five. Only teams worse, Houston, Sacramento, Orlando, Denver.
And that's surprising because, like, I'm a pretty big Kevon Looney fan. I think just at least compared to your average NBA fan.
And you know I am.
Yeah. So, like, to me, it doesn't make sense. But obviously the numbers are saying something different there. So
Kevon Looney's also like if Golden State trades for a center, no matter who it is, Kevon Looney's not anywhere near out of the rotation. He's too yeah. good as a facilitator. He's too familiar and too comfortable with that system.
Yeah.
But he's also 6'9".
Yeah.
Right? Like he's not really going to protect the rim at an elite rate. It's why they've been linked to centers for a while.
Yeah.
Which is why I'll kind of segue this real quick. I don't know if you have this worked, if you could work it now. I would like to see if they can't get Jakob Poeltl. I would like to see Mason Plumlee go to the Golden State Warriors because yeah, he is one of the most underrated facilitating centers in basketball. He's like top five in screen assists per game. We know as a center in this system, you're going to have to screen a lot. And I think defensively, he can be a little bit of an upgrade over Kevon Looney and still give you the same type of familiar. Like, I think he can fit the system really well and be able to find the open player in that system with all the movement around him. Mm-hmm. So I think you have a little bit more upside. Not that Mason Plumlee is this, you know, Rudy Gobert, Jared Allen type rim protector or anything, but I think he gives you a little bit more upside than Kevon Looney. But also when Kevon Looney's off the floor, I think you don't really miss a beat with him as the center that's, you know, screening and rolling and facilitating. So I've been kind of high on this Mason Plumlee. I think he has to get traded because what the hell is Charlotte doing? Eddie was talking about this the other day on stream. He was like,
yeah.
Why is Mason Plumlee playing 32 minutes? Just play Mark Williams, play, you know, Richards, play all these yeah. young guys. You guys suck. Yeah. So Plumlee has to be one of the main, like, obviously there's players that have been talked about more. Mm-hmm. I think Plumlee feels like a player that, like, has to be traded before the deadline.
Yeah. And so hopefully, as you know, resident Spurs guy, I hope the Spurs beat them to that punch because there's not too many teams that need a traditional five man, or at least as traditional as those two guys get. Yeah, that's interesting, man. And again, Mark, I was pissed that I wasn't on the stream last week. Both days when you could have played Mark Williams as an acceptable value, worked okay one night, went fucking crazy the other night. And I think I'm hoping tonight, Monday, January 2nd, Mark Williams back on the slate.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah. Well, and like, but from a fantasy perspective, like if we, yes, have to play him from a real life standpoint. From a fantasy perspective, like I was all over him last week. Again, I wasn't on the stream both nights that I played a bunch of them, but yeah, he was like 1.53 DK points per minute in the G League. Obviously, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but guess what? Five games in now, he's like 1.4. So like I've been projecting him at like a one and a quarter DK per minute, and he just projects through the roof.
Him and Jalen Duren have been so productive, especially rebounding.
Yeah.
So do you have any potential trades that fit the trade machine, or if not, go to the next trade that you want to see? Because
not from Plumlee this time, but I'm sure we will do just a full on trade podcast coming up to the deadline here in a couple of weeks. We'll have some Plumlee trades there. We'll also have, you know, everybody's favorite trades, more Spurs trades, talking Doug McDermott, Josh Richardson, guys like that, smaller deals.
I'll take Josh Richardson in Cleveland.
I was messing around with the Cleveland trade earlier.
Dude, he had his showcase game when San Antonio lost by beating the Cavs when they lost by beating the Cavs, I should say.
I do have three more here though, and we'll start. Two of these actually involve the Lakers. Here is the more simple one. This is Lakers Bulls. I think you alluded to the Bulls and their potential to blow it up earlier. I have the Lakers sending Russell Westbrook and top three protected first round picks in 2027 and 2029 to the Chicago Bulls for DeMar DeRozan, Goran Dragic, and the return of Alex Caruso. So DeRozan, Caruso, and Dragic to the Lakers, who are now overflowing with point guards. So I think you can probably like cut Dennis Schroeder out of here, Kendrick Nunn, get him out. And then, can you imagine like how much more viable this team is with a four of Caruso, DeRozan, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and X?
Like, here's the problem I have.
It doesn't much matter who else is there.
The problem I have with this team is we don't know how long Davis is going to be out. Like, it could be another month. Uh-huh. And at that point, does this team say, we need to make a trade now because LeBron is still playing at this really high level at this age and we want to maximize that window?
Yeah.
Or do you say, you know what, we're not winning shit without AD anyway. Do we even risk trading this valuable pick? And then I also saw a report not too long ago that they don't really want to trade Russell Westbrook because he's been so good off the bench for them.
Yeah.
Now, for that trade, I think you can definitely consider it, but it was also a part of it with the DeRozan rumors. Obviously, sounds like DeMar would love to go to that team.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, especially that city.
Well, he wanted to out of San Antonio, and you know.
Yeah, I remember. Did you watch the J.J. Redick podcast with him? He thought he was going there.
See, where DeMar fucked up, if he actually thought that, is he thought that the Spurs would trade with the Lakers, which they will not. As long as Popovich is involved in the San Antonio organization, there is a blockade between them and the Lakers. But we saw the Spurs ship Kawhi north of the border, and then he went right to where he wanted with the Clippers.
Yeah.
So they shipped DeRozan to the Bulls, right? And then he can go to the Lakers now. So like, maybe it can all work out in the end if they can ship DeMar there. And Russell Westbrook, I agree, he's been really good. And, like, shout out to him for finally accepting that role off the bench. And maybe not even finally. Like, I think they just kind of said, hey, we're going to bring you off the bench now. And he was like, oh, maybe not happy about it. But like you said, he's been good. But, you know, now you can have Pat Beverly and Goran Dragic. And, again, if you keep Dennis Schroeder, you have no shortage of backup point guard options now if that trade goes through.
The only problem I have, still don't have any shooting.
Yeah, for sure. For
which
sure.
is why they should be looking at Bogdanović because he should be traded from Detroit any day now.
Let's go ahead and move on to trade number three here, because trade four may be bringing some shooting to LA. But trade number three, and I can't take full credit for this one. I think it was Russillo that said this, or like this as like a framework of a kind of a crazy trade. And I liked it, so I went ahead and added some picks. And, you know, here we go. Jimmy Butler to Denver for Michael Porter Jr., a top five protected 2026 first round pick, and two 2023 seconds. So Miami gets MPJ, a top five protected first 3 years from now, and 2 seconds in this coming draft to get off of the Jimmy Butler contract. And to me, you only do this move if you think you are not going to compete for a title this year, which is where I stand with Miami. Like, I think even if they're healthy, I don't think this team...
I just don't think their offense is good enough.
I agree. And, like, this doesn't necessarily set up Miami for future success, certainly right away, because you already have Tyler Hero as, like, the fucking target. Like, he is the mark on that team. And then you put MPJ out there with them, too. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. But you've got Bam back there. And I think he can certainly help with some of those shortcomings that those two guys would bring. And I think it's like a figure-it-out type thing. We get off of this Jimmy Butler deal, which is going to be, no matter what, the last 2 years of that deal are going to be horrendous from a financial standpoint to like how much he can actually play. But on that Denver side, you add Jimmy Butler in that Michael Porter spot. And now this team, who I think is a legit contender already, is probably the favorite in the West if you put Jimmy Butler on that team.
So Denver, for me, the only thing they are missing is another defensive wing. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Butler would be pretty damn good. Maybe this is just me being really just too high on this team because I did pick them to win the finals early in the season. I picked, I think it was Denver and Philly I picked. Nice. Which, it's not... It's not done yet. Philly's starting to.
You feel better about Denver, probably, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if they need to even make a Jimmy Butler move. I think they're good enough. They just get, you know, if they trade for Jay Crowder or they trade for one of these defensive wings. Now it's going to be tough because he is. There's been a lot of talk about him being like this team asking for a lot for him. But can you imagine OG and Anobi on Denver? Holy shit. That would be the best fit, and that team would be unbelievable. Toronto's going to ask for a lot, which they should, because OG is one of the top defensive players in basketball. But you want to talk about a perfect fit? Because OG is a capable offensive player, but like he will be perfect in that role. I just talked myself into a trade that I want to see happen now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe OG for MPJ like and other pieces. Who knows? Let's get
and then also with Denver too, like MPJ's got the upside, but like the back issues could flare up anytime. Uh-huh. And then maybe you just get, you know, you get off that and just trade for somebody who can just be an absolute defensive stopper. Plus like the players they added this offseason, Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon's been one of the most improved players in basketball. He is in that running, by the way, for most improved. But like, I just love that team. Like if I'm not a Cavs fan, that's the team I root for every night. 100%.
Well, let's see if you can root for this trade here to close out the pod, Adam. It's a four team trade.
Jesus Christ.
And I have fixed the Lakers. Okay. I guess let's break it down. Lakers to team X, Y, and Z. First team, the Jazz. So the Lakers are trading Russell Westbrook and a top three protected 2027 first round pick to the Jazz for Mike Conley and Malik Beasley.
By the way, I didn't mention this. That is the player I want Cleveland to target, Malik Beasley.
Yeah. Yeah, would be another good one. Unfortunately, Lakers are going to get him here. then they turn to their intra-division rival, the Phoenix Suns, and say, let us fix that Jay Crowder situation for you. Here's two 2023 second round picks for the expiring contract of Jay Crowder. And the Suns, with really no other legitimate offers, who's going to, like, are we going to trade first round picks for an aging Jay Crowder at this point? No.
Yeah.
So they get two immediate picks that they'll get to make next year in the second round. Try to bolster that bench around
the Suns. The Suns can make a move too, because isn't Dario Saric expiring?
That sounds right to me.
Pretty sure he is. So.
Yeah. And then we're turning to Detroit, and Bojan Bogdanovic is coming to the Lakers for a top three protected 2029 first round pick.
That would fix them.
Schroeder, Nunn, and JTA going back to make all the salaries work. So, in conclusion, the Jazz are getting Russell Westbrook and a top three protected 2027 first round pick. The Suns are getting two 2023 second round picks. The Pistons are getting salary dumps of Schroeder, Nunn, and JTA, plus a 2029 top three protected first round pick. The Lakers get Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Malik Beasley, and Jay Crowder.
I like it.
Who says no first there?
Definitely not the Lakers.
Yeah. I don't know about the Suns. I think they may say no just because it's, again, division rival, and whatever kind of contentious thing they have going on with Jay Crowder here. I'm still not totally clear on what the deal is there, but I think the Jazz, like, getting a first for Conley and Beasley, like, top three protected, that seems like pretty good business to me. You get $47 million in expiring Russell Westbrook the next year.
Do you think Sexton could be on the move?
Yes, but I doubt it. Because he has an extension, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think any team, certainly any contending team, is going to take on 4 years of Sexton at $16 million a year. And out of all those guys, like, what? Who do you want to trade more? Salary cap included. You know, 2 years of Conley at $22.5 million, or young Sexton, the young bull, right, at $16 million. Like, I think we know what Sexton is at this point. Like, he's your sixth man off the bench, and that's fine for $16 million if he can be really good in that role and can accept that role. Like, $16 million, fuck, man, I won't play in a game for $16 million. Like, you get to be a sixth man. Like, sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And then I think the Pistons are the team that says no first here, because for whatever reason they want Bojan on this team. And, like, I get it as, like, a veteran presence, and, like, we're not going to completely tank it. But guess what, guys? We are completely tanking it. We're 10-29. Kate's out for the year. Like, if you can get a first round pick for Bojan, do it. Just do it.
I think teams that are either contending or on the cusp will easily trade a first for him too. Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
There's a couple players I want to talk about before we get out of here. Like, John Collins has been linked for years now.
Yeah.
One team that's kind of always stood out is Dallas, but here's my problem with Dallas. Doesn't he feel really repetitive to Christian Wood?
To whom?
John Collins and Christian Wood. Don't they feel very repetitive?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have Christian Wood, I think.
Yeah, so, like, that's one team I don't think makes sense. Phoenix, I think it makes some sense for him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I just... But, like, again, you have Dario's expiring.
Are we going to pay what Atlanta wants? Anybody going to pay what Atlanta wants?
And his contract is pretty, you know, pretty hefty too, if I'm not mistaken.
The thing that sucks is we need, like, a market reset after what Danny Ainge pulled off this summer. Like, the Rudy Gobert trade screwed everybody else.
Like, dude, Kevin Durant gave up a decent amount for Donovan Mitchell, but it's like nobody cares because... First of all, Donovan Mitchell's just more important to a team. Right. But, like, I guess it's more talked about, too, because Minnesota, like, it clearly wasn't working out with Kat, and it's definitely not working out with Anthony Edwards because they just don't mesh together. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, now it's just like, oh, you want to trade for this player? Well, Minnesota just got – or Utah just got 7,000 things for Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. That's tough. I like this trade deadline when it comes. I don't think it's going to be massive. Like, unless the Bulls and Raptors really decide to just blow it all up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of, like, you know, Malik Beasley type trades.
Jakob Poeltl, trying to think of some other players.
Jay Crowder should be on the move.
Yeah, you'd think. I think Wizards are also in the mix as a team that could blow it up. I guess that
blow it up as though. In Kuzma and Beal?
Well, Beal has contract. A no-trade clause.
Or Beal has a no-trade, but Kuzma's... I mean,
Porzingis and Kuzma.
Kuzma definitely wants out.
And so, I mean, I think probably some of those other pieces are movable, too. Like, none of these guys are on super long deals. Like, Rui's on an expiring. I assume that's his rookie expiring. You've got two-year contracts on DeLon Wright, Monty Morris. You've got Will Barton on a $14 million expiring. Like, I don't think he's somebody that a contender would be uninterested in.
What do you think the Raptors and Bulls end up doing? I think if the Raptors make any trade, it'll be Gary Trent. I don't think it's going to be OG. I definitely don't think it's going to be Pascal. Although, also, can you imagine Pascal in, like, Denver or something?
Well, that's, if they're actually going to blow it up, then obviously Siakam is the first guy that you throw out there because he's the best, like, you can get the biggest return for him. But I don't know, man. If I'm Masai, and I'm certainly not, like, he is, I don't know if we can call him the GOAT, but he's up there, like, in terms of NBA GMs, certainly in the past two decades or so. I think they stand pat. Like, they have a lot of good pieces, and like, I think maybe they overachieved a little bit last year.
I think they're more inclined to actually trade for a center than blow it up. At least try to trade for a center.
I think that's fair. But you also, you know, like, Precious Achiuwa is about to be back, and like, he looked fine earlier in the season before he went down. I don't know, man. Like, I think if, like, last year maybe they overachieved a little bit, like, maybe Scotty overachieved a little bit, he's certainly hitting somewhat of a rookie wall or, like, a second-year wall here. I don't think 16-20 as the 12 seed is really indicative of this team's quality. I think sooner rather than later we see the Raptors' position in the Eastern Conference standings do a little switch.
Pacers. Too.
And I think we see Toronto in that six-ish range and Pacers out of the play-in. But as things stand now, yeah, it's certain there's uncertainty there for Toronto.
Same with the Pacers too, because Miles Turner and Buddy Hield like 3 months ago were like two players that seemed to be guaranteed to be traded. Yeah, now it's like,
fuck that though, get them out. Like, you gotta trade them.
I mean, Buddy feels like
Buddy for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Buddy replacements already on the team.
Yeah, Mathurin.
Yeah. And like, I mean, they invested in Duarte. I said at the time, I was not a fan of drafting old man Duarte.
He's too old. He can't take his stuff. He's too old.
Yeah, well, and like the same, like, where's he at? I was making kind of the same argument for Davion Mitchell, and that's coming true this year. He has not been good, and he's also old guy. So, like, what? I do not want my team to ever draft a 23-year-old rookie. Ever. Don't do it. There's a reason they are not in the NBA yet. It's because they're not good.
Reminds me of, like, the Chicago Bears drafted Velus Jones, who's been, like, 5 years in college, and only one of those, he was an actual wide receiver. He was, like, on special teams.
Oh, I did not know that, but that makes a lot of sense for the Bears. Dude, the fact that Pittsburgh, here we are, sandwiching the NBA circle talk with NFL. The fact that Pittsburgh got a second-round pick from the, which, isn't that going to be, like, the first pick of the second round now? So, essentially, yeah,
the Bears are in the running for the number one pick. Bro, I think they would have to have... Yeah, it's going to be them or Houston.
Yes, they got a first-round pick for Chase Claypool. They didn't even pick Chase Claypool in the first round. It's amazing. I love it. Another example of don't draft an old guy, Kyle Kuzma. He's not to the level of a guy like Duarte.
Yeah, Kuzma's a good NBA player, but...
He's good. He just, like, was never... And part of that was being in the fucking Lakers system and Lakers fans, who are the most delusional fan base in the league, pumping his... Just like the THT shit. Like, and that Kyle Kuzma has...
Don't trade him. Don't trade Taylor Horton Tucker. You gotta keep him.
All right, I'm done yelling for the day.
Any other players we haven't touched? Like, obviously, we'll see what the Bulls do. We'll see what Toronto, if they do anything. I'm trying to think of some other teams that...
I mean, other names. I mean, I think there's certainly got... Like, I talked Dwight Powell, right? Like, there's other movable pieces on that team. Contract-wise, and I think talent-wise, like Hardaway, Bertans.
Like, who's the ideal player that's, like, realistic that you would like to see with Luka?
Jakob Poeltl. But like, I mean, just no, from like a Dallas standpoint and taking my fandom out of it, I'm not gonna come up with an answer on the spot just for the sake of answering your question, but I think that's a really good question and I want to answer you later. Just because, like, there's not a ton. Like, I think it's a really short list, right? Like, and it's kind of funny, Jalen Brunson.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Like, I think they just got rid of, like, the exact style of player that Luka needs to have next to him. But, like, the tough thing with that is like, that player in that role is always, when their contract comes up, always going to want more than what Dallas can realistically afford to pay that type of a player because of how they have to structure this roster around Luka. Which, again, like, that we could have a much longer discussion about how good is Luka really if you are so constrained on what types of players you can put around him to be successful. A longer conversation, I think, for another day. But, it's interesting in Dallas for sure.
Yeah, well, like I said, probably going to try for a couple of episodes a week now that football is starting to slow down. So it's exciting. Huge game tonight. Recording this Monday. Bills got to win. I'm very nervous.
Bills got to win.
Yeah. Very nervous. We'll
I'm
see done.
Football doesn't exist anymore for me outside of the Steelers because I'm still pouting over. I mean, I have to watch my team get buried even more now tonight in season long fantasy. So I'm out.
Yeah, it was a rough week because most of the players that didn't do anything in the semifinals just went absolutely crazy on Sunday. Mike Evans, Devontae Adams. We'll see what Stephon Diggs does tonight.
Yeah,
who might be because of like how much he loves it and everything, and does a podcast with Matt Harmon on Yahoo.
Yeah,
the GOAT of fantasy football, just other than Matthew Berry, obviously.
Yeah,
might just be Austin Eckler.
Yep. He said, everybody start me, like, I'm going to take you to the title.
And then he goes for, like, 200 scrimmage yards and two touchdowns.
He knew what he was doing, yeah.
He's the greatest. Appreciate everybody listening, though. Again, FTN NBA podcast, multiple times a week coming at you. We'll have more trades. Zach will be on the trade machine probably until midnight, you know, close the windows, light a candle, and just go to the trade machine. We'll react, I'm sure, to the All-Star rosters, and they come out. It'll be a fun time. Any other closing thoughts before we get out of here, Zach?
No, man. Basketball season absolutely starting for real now.
See what happens, how the standings shake up, how the trades shake up the teams and rosters and stuff like that. So it'll be fun. Thanks for listening. As always, this has been the FTN NBA podcast. Have a good one. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APFeifer24, at JMeds34, and at KowisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.